Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and we went down by the riverside where we suppose was a place of prayer. It is written, and prayer was made earnestly of the church unto God for Peter. It is written, we will give ourselves continually unto prayer and the ministry of the word. It is written, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns unto God. It is written, he spake a parable unto them to the end that they ought always to pray. It is written, and he said unto them, pray without ceasing. Men of Galilee, why stand ye looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is nigh unto Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey off. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper chamber, where they were abiding. These all, with one accord, continued steadfastly in prayer. Nobody knows the power of prayer. Somebody must be listening there. With a friendly ear for the heart that calls. Somebody who knows when a sparrow falls. Miracles lie in the power of prayer. Faith that can banish the soul's despair. Hope that can shine like a holy light and brighten the spirit's darkest night. Oh, when earthly help is of no avail, there is one friend who will never, never, never fail. Just lift your eyes. The answer is always there, for nobody but nobody knows power of prayer.
For God is just a prayer away.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from God's Word entitled The Power of Prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the Mount of Olives 40 days after the resurrection. He went with the apostles and ascended up to heaven on Thursday. He had given them the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. However, he instructed them to wait until they received the power from on high. The two men in white apparel asked them, why stand ye looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven. So they went back to Jerusalem and began to wait for the power and prayed. Now the next day was Friday, and they did not expect the power to come that day, because the Lord said, you will receive the power not many days hence. So they prayed on. The next day was Saturday, and they thought, this is the Sabbath, so this might be the day when the power comes. It did not come, so they prayed on. The next day was Sunday, and they reasoned, this is Sunday, and many of the appearances after the resurrection were on Sunday. The Lord has this penchant for doing things on Sunday. Perhaps this will be the day. Nothing happened, so they prayed on. Then Monday and Tuesday they prayed, and still no power. But when Wednesday came, they thought, this must be the day when we receive the power. Because this is a day in the future when most churches will have a midweek prayer service. Nothing happened. And it's a good thing the power did not come on them at that time, because only two or three would have showed up for the meeting. Then Thursday came, and they thought, this is the anniversary of the Lord's leaving. Nothing happened. Then again Friday and Saturday came, still no power. Then on the second Sunday it happened. They received the power from on high on the day of Pentecost, and the church was born that day. Notice the power did not come from the east, north, west, or south. It came straight down out of heaven. Peter preached the first gospel sermon about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, told them how Jesus ascended and sat down at the right hand of God, and that they were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. They cried out, what must we do? And Peter told them, he told this believing multitude to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people responded to the invitation and were baptized that very day. Then Luke tells us the Lord added to them day by day those that were being saved. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. The church began on the day of Pentecost after a 10-day open-end prayer meeting. What power prayers they must have been. Prayer is mentioned 29 times in the book of Acts, more times than any other book in the New Testament. There were other great power prayers in the book of Acts besides this one, however. So let us listen in on a few of these power prayers of the book of Acts. First, the prayer at the beautiful gate. In Acts 3, Peter and John went up to pray in the temple. A lame man from birth was there and saw Peter and John and asked to receive an alms. Peter and John were flat-busted and had no money and said they would give what they had. Peter took him by the right hand, lifted him up in the name of Jesus Christ, and was healed. And immediately he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Ladies and gentlemen, if something like that had happened today, the following scenario would have taken place. The man who was healed would have said, Mr. Peter and Mr. John, I thank you for what you have done for me by the power of Jesus of Nazareth. And I realize you are going into the temple to pray. But if you don't mind, I won't go in with you today. Because I know that today is the day when the Bethlehem Bulls are playing the Jerusalem Jackals, and I must go see that game. Peter and John would have said, well, we understand. Praying is nothing compared to the outcome of the Bulls and the Jackals. But perhaps you can find time to go in with us next time we come, the next Lord's Day, perhaps. The former lame man would have said, Mr. Peter and Mr. John, I really can't make it on that day, because that's the day when they have the playoffs. And the Mesopotamian Mosquitoes are playing the Capernaum Chiggers, and I'm just itching to see that game. Ladies and gentlemen, if that had happened, Peter and John would have gone into the temple and prayed, and nobody would have paid any attention to them. I don't know what the score was that day between the Bulls and the Jackals, but because this former lame man stood with the apostles in preaching the word of God, a blowout happened for God. The number of the disciples came to be about 5,000. What a score for God that was! What a power prayer that was. Several years ago, I went to preach at an area-wide meeting, and a man attended who told me that he was driving on the highway on a Sunday morning. A policeman pulled him over and asked him, Sir, do you realize how fast you were going? You were driving 85 miles an hour. That man told me that he told the policeman, I don't know how I can be going that fast. All I was doing was driving along, listening to Ed Bousman on the radio. He said the policeman told him, well, I was listening to him too. So go ahead and drive carefully. Ladies and gentlemen, it pays to stand with the preaching of the Word of God, like the lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple. What a power prayer that was. Here's another one. Because of the healing of the lame man and the tremendous result, Peter and John were arrested. At the trial, the boldness of Peter and John was perceived by the authorities, although they were unlearned and ignorant men. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Since the man who was healed was standing with them, they could not deny what happened and let them go with a warning not to do it again. Peter and John returned to their own company and reported all the chief priests had said unto them. One might think that the time had come to play it cool and say as little about Jesus as possible about the church. The church got together for a prayer meeting. This is the prayer they prayed. Lord, look upon their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that they may speak thy word with boldness, while thou stretchest forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done, in the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, wherein they were gathered together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spake the word of God with boldness. They were accused and threatened for being bold, and they prayed for more boldness. Boldness is the element that is lacking in much of the preaching that is done today in our churches. Nothing must be preached if it differs from what the majority want to hear. If it offends people to hear the terms of pardon Peter preached on the day of Pentecost regarding repentance and baptism for the remission of sins, don't preach it. Some might say, well, it's different today. God no longer shakes church buildings to show his approval. However, that's a mistaken idea. God is still in the shaking business. In Hebrews 12, we note, yet once more will I cause to tremble not the earth only, but the heavens also. And this word signifying the removing of the things that are shaken, as of things that are made, and the things which are not shaken may remain. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace, whereby we may offer services well-pleasing to our God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Actually, there are some things that cannot be shaken. The Church of Christ is one thing that can't be shaken, and the Word of God is another. As I have said many times, if I knew that God would give this old world a shake tomorrow at 9 o'clock, I would put the Bible on the floor at 8:55 and stand on it. Because when the Lord gives this world that final shake, the only firm place to stand will be on the Word of God. Peter said, the grass withereth and the flower falleth, but the Word of God abideth forever, so pray for boldness. However, it is well to remember that the prayer for boldness comes with a price tag. Boldness is expensive. When the church at Jerusalem prayed for boldness, in the very next chapter, all of the apostles were beaten. In the chapter after that, Stephen was put on trial for his life. In the chapter after that, he was stoned. Then in the chapter after that, all the church was scattered abroad, but they went everywhere preaching the word with boldness. For those who cannot pay the price of boldness, it has been well said, Preach a sermon, preacher, make it short and sweet. Our stomachs are a-hungering at 11 o'clock to eat. Preach a sermon, preacher, make it round or flat. We love to play at hide-and-seek and guess just where you're at. Preach a sermon, preacher, fill it with some jokes. Tell us a few anecdotes and entertain us folks. Preach a sermon, preacher, don't get too specific. As long as you will generalize, we'll think you are terrific. Preach a sermon, preacher, tell us what we like to hear. And we'll pat your spineless back while you scratch our itching ear. What a power prayer that was. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another power prayer. In Acts chapter 6 is the prayer that gives more time to the preaching of the word. The church had a problem. Evidently, they had a program that we call today Meals on Wheels, a service rendered by the church to care for the poor widows who were in need of food. Some of the widows, it seems, were neglected, and there was a murmuring in the congregation about the problem. Now here is an amazing situation. The church at Jerusalem at that time was the only church that ever existed that had 12 apostles on what is called today the staff. Think of it. 12 apostles on the staff, and the church murmured. Ladies and gentlemen, if they murmured, what chance does a preacher have today of pleasing everybody? Even the apostles could not do that. However, the apostles did have the answer. They called a congregational meeting and informed them that their time was completely taken up and they did not have time for that program. Then they gave them the solution. Choose out 7 men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and we will appoint them over this business. We, however, will give ourselves steadfastly to prayer and to the ministry of the word. It seems that preaching and praying is the primary work of a preacher, and preaching does not seem to be the chief concern today. When I was in Bible college, there were 24 young men in the class. Upon graduation, all 24 became preachers. Where is the Bible college today with that kind of percentage of preachers? A young man goes to Bible college today, and if I ask, "What are you going to be?" more than likely he will say, "I'm going to be a counselor. I'm going to be a psychologist. I'm going to be a youth minister." You may ask, "Well, what is wrong with that?" Nothing is wrong with it. But the question is, where are the preachers? Remember, the church did not begin with a counseling session and did not begin with a skit. It began with preaching. As far as counseling is concerned, I am a counselor. Every time I preach, I counsel. What do you think I'm doing now? I counsel people in bunches, in hunks, and in great big slabs. Remember, Paul said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, to them that perish, but to the saved it is the power of God. I went to a Bible college one time, and just before I got to the platform to preach, somebody in the audience was asked to lead in prayer. I never heard a prayer prayed like that before. That fellow prayed, and he said, "Oh Lord, we thank you tonight that we have come here to listen to what this fool has to say." I knew then that I was in the right crowd. Remember, Paul said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That may be the answer to the problem today. Today, people are trying to convert the world with the wisdom of the world, and God is saying trying to convert the world with the wisdom of the world is foolishness. The foolishness, God said, and Paul said, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. I saw a statement by a 5-star general one time, a 5-star general of World War II, where he said, "What this country needs is not more scientists. This country needs more preachers." What a power prayer that will be. And now the prayer for evangelism. What a power prayer that is going to be. In Acts 10, Luke tells us about the prayer that led to worldwide evangelism. Peter was in the city of Joppa, residing in the home of Simon the Tanner. He had a great desire to pray, so he went up on top of the housetop to pray. Now, his prayer is not recorded, but judging from the result of his prayer might have been something about evangelism. Because as he prayed, he became hungry and desired to eat, and while they were getting the dinner ready, he fell into a trance and saw a vision. He saw, as nearly as can be explained, a great sheet let down out of heaven, held up by four corners. And in the sheet, all kinds of four-footed beasts and creeping things of the earth and birds of the heaven. A voice came saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Since most of, if not all, the beasts were unclean, as to Peter as a Jew, he would not obey the voice in the vision, which was the voice of God. Peter said, "Not so." Peter said something like this, "Lord, I've done a lot of terrible things in my life. I have cut people's ears off. I have sworn before the enemies of Jesus that I was not one of his disciples, and I even told them I didn't even know him. For these sins I have repented with bitter tears. But there's one thing I have never done, Lord, or ever will do. I have never been so depraved, so low down, that I would stoop so low as to actually eat a ham sandwich." The voice said, "What God hath cleansed, make not thou common." Now while Peter thought about that vision, whatever it might mean, some men arrived from a Gentile centurion, a soldier named Cornelius, who on instructions from God had sent for Peter to hear the word of God. This would have been unthinkable that he should ever go into a Gentile's house, much less spare the gospel with him. But Peter now understands the vision, that any prayer he prays for conversion of the lost includes all races. Now he finally understands the Great Commission that said the gospel should be preached to every creature, not just a few of them. It is a strange commentary on much of the preaching today by white preachers in America. Most of us white preachers spend most of our lives preaching to the same class of people, middle-class white people who live in the suburbs. Churches, too, have the same vision. Let us get us a nice preacher who can do a nice job building up a nice church in a nice suburb full of nice white people. One preacher I know who has since crossed over Jordan preached in the inner city of a large American town, and he explained to me why he had buried his life in such an unglamorous ministry. He said to me, "I like squirrels. I like rabbits. I like green grass. I like to preach in a nice neighborhood." But he said, "That's not where the people are. The people are down here in the inner city." You see, Peter saw a sheet let down out of heaven. He was challenged by what he saw in the sheet. Is there no sheet let down for us? Is there no sheet for you? Is there no sheet for me? There is. In fact, the New Testament is full of sheets. And on one of those sheets it is written, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." What a power prayer Peter must have prayed when he saw what was in the sheet. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.